came on August 3rd, 2014, and all at once you could leave here changed, your destiny changed, your heart changed, your outlook changed. That's the way our God can do things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for some that have special needs in just a moment, but if you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Amen. We need help in the amen corner. Brother Cruz, would you like to help in the amen corner this morning? Thank you. There you go. That'll work. Most of you have gotten the e-bulletin, but Tabitha Kendricks has a very massive blood clot and is in ICU at Kettering Hospital and looking at a procedure later today or tomorrow. And we want to be in prayer for her. Sister Chrisman has had a very bad week with more mini strokes and a fall that has apparently re-injured her hip she broke a few years back. And these are very, very serious needs. Just back to our missionaries, my sister Pettit, I think with the time difference, though it's tomorrow there, it'll be sometime this evening while we're in church, the surgery will actually take place. Sister Brock is here, but our prayers continue to be with her and others that we are praying for. So as we pray over the preached word today, could you stand across the building? Let's just pray for these special needs and pray for the situation of our world. We just need God to intervene. He's mighty creator, deliverer, redeemer God, and we invite his intervention. Could we do that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. God, we pray that right now in that hospital room, God, that you would enter it. Place your hand, Master, upon Tabitha, Lord, and heal her, God. Lord, you're able to take care of that in a moment. Lord, you're able to help the physicians, however you choose to do it. God, move mightily right now in your name. Lord, touch Sister Chrisman. May she feel strength in her body right now. God, we pray, even as we're seeking you in this service, Lord, strengthen Sister Brock. Be with her. Touch her. Heal her, Lord. God, be with our missionaries, Lord, today, facing this great need, O Lord, that they may have the peace of Christ that passeth understanding. Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Hear the prayers of your people. God, be with us in a special way through the preaching of the word. Shut up our hearts here in this place to the truth. Remove every distraction, every diversion, Lord. May we hear the voice of our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Let's just take a moment to praise him. Would you praise him? Come on, pour out your hearts to God. Reach out and touch him in this place. Hallelujah. God, you're here to do eternal things. God, you're here to change somebody's eternity. You're here to encourage and refresh and renew and replenish. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God. Oh, hallelujah. I shouldn't have to preach. We should just shout and weep and cry. What manner of love? I want to take just two of those words, and I want to preach this morning on what love. What love. Oh, hallelujah. What love. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. I wanted to share a little bit with her permission, but I just used this scripture at Billy Bittner's father's memorial service. And the reason I used it is because prior to the service and a time or two before that, Billy had shared with me her heart just bubbling over about how when she was abandoned by her father and her mother, the man that we buried a few weeks back, Leonard, took Billy into his home and adopted her and raised her as if he had conceived her, as if he was her biological father. And just watching the way Billy was so grateful and so thankful that this man, Leonard, had done that. I kept thinking of this scripture. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. I'll tell you what the love of God will do. It'll make you a child of God. Hallelujah. That'll change everything. You know, every word in here is important, but you know, you got to start with that word, behold. If we could have the text again. Behold. I mean, that's an exclamation. Look at this. Be wowed by this. Behold. And when we think of how God has taken us into His family and made us His children, we should be overwhelmed with gratitude. We should be overwhelmed with wonder. In fact, we sang this morning, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me and has made me a part of His family. I want to tell you a big problem with our society and world, and it's fragmentation, it's destruction of the family. It's people do not feel like they belong. And I want to tell you, it's hardwired into the human heart, the need to belong. And that's the whole breakdown of our society. People don't have a sense of belonging. But I want you to know, because of the love of God, you can belong. You can belong to the family of God. You can be a part of that wondrous family. Even the scripture says here, what manner of love. That what manner of love is taken two ways. Number one, what kind of love is this? Amen. Hollywood doesn't know anything about it. The secular singing doesn't know anything about it. A lot of people are unused to this kind of love. They're unfamiliar with this kind of love. Amen. It's not a love that you see out in our world. Oh, what kind of love is this? But I want you to know, we have felt that love even in this service. It's not a love you feel out in this world. Amen. It's unique. It's unusual. Oh, what kind of love is this? But not just what kind of love is this in quality, but what kind of love is this in quantity? Look how much of this love that there is. Look how far this love reaches. Look at the extent this love will go. Oh, hallelujah. How many could just lift a hand and say, oh, what love? What love? What amazing love. What good and wonderful love. Amen. That's the exclamation of it all. I like to help folks with questions, and I have same questions, but I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, that thing about God being Trinity, that's so hard for me to grasp. I just can't understand the Trinity. Well, I don't understand the Trinity. I believe it. It's scriptural, but I would have to say this. Amen. Not understanding the Trinity, it's much easier for me to accept the Trinity than it is to accept the fact that God loves me unconditionally. I've had other folks, you know, this is a popular thing that you hear out in the world trying to dismiss God. But, you know, the question is, how can God be all good? And how can God be all powerful? And yet there's suffering and wickedness in our world. And that question bothers people. I'll tell you something, that question, amen, it doesn't bother me. And it's not as hard for me to understand how God can be good and all powerful. That's not nearly as hard to understand as it is to understand, how can God love me enough to send His Son to die in my place for me? I'm telling you, that's the question. Oh, but it may be a question, but it is true. It's really true. He does love us. You can question it, you can doubt it, but it doesn't change it one little bit. Our God loves us. As Charles Wesley says, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Oh, isn't it amazing love? Oh, hallelujah. What amazing, amazing love. The undeniable message of the gospel of this book is that God loves you and me. I won't even begin began to venture to get into it. But I so tired the so-called authorities and teachers of our secular world always dissing the Bible, saying if you read the Bible, you see a God that is cruel and God of judgment and a God of genocide and all this other stuff. You know, they really haven't read the book, because if you read the book, there's only one message to leave this book with, and that is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I didn't know they was going to sing it. I had it written down here, but when we came out, even the trio was singing, oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Even aren't you glad for that this morning, to know that he loves you? And I'll tell you one reason I'm preaching this morning is because we humans, as real as our hunger for food, as real as our thirst for water, we have an ingrained need as a human to be loved. And I want you to hear me across this building. If you're feeling hopelessly discouraged this morning, and there very may well be folks in this house that are feeling hopelessly discouraged, if you're feeling hopelessly discouraged, you have not yet realized how much God loves you. I'm not downing you. I'm just giving you the solution here. If you're here this morning, you feel worthless, and the devil will make sure you feel worthless. He'll send people to you to cut you down and run you down. But if you feel worthless this morning, you've not yet realized how much God loves you. If you're sitting in this building and you feel like you have no future, you have no hope to look at the future with, you've not yet realized how much God loves you. If you're in misery this morning of mind and soul, oh, what you need to realize is how much God loves you. If you're here this morning, you feel like your life cannot change, will never change. You haven't realized how much God loves you. If you're sitting here and you feel all alone, all by yourself, you've not yet realized how much God loves you. If you're sitting here thinking, I could never be saved, I could never go to heaven, oh, you've not realized how much that God loves you. Could I tell you again? Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Knowing me the way I know me, it's difficult to believe that God loves me, yet God knows me better than I know me, and he loves me. Hallelujah. You know, I have found it's always easier to believe God loves somebody else. I'm not talking about these conceited folks that think they're God's gift to society, but I'm talking about most of the rest of us folks. It's easier for us to believe that God loves somebody else than us. But I want you to know, if you're sitting in this house this morning, he loves you. He loves you. And John, in announcing this love, he said, the Father hath proved his love by making us his own children and bringing us into his family. Just shortly, I want us to go back and look at what I've been preaching. Number one, God's motive was love. His motive was love. It was the love of a father, not a deadbeat father, not the examples many have had in their lives, but his love, his motive was the love of a true father. Amen. It's the love of a father. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And I want to ask, when you think of God saving us, what other motive could he have had? Amen. You know, it's not like some marriages. The man said, well, my wife, she really got a catch when she got me. What did God get when he got us? I mean, what was his motive? Oh, there could have been no other motive but love. You know, in the world we live in, especially the politicized world, we're so used to seeing things done for an alternative motive. You know, there's always another motive underneath. And it's hard to accept that God saves us simply because He loves us. You know, one of the things I'm so happy about right now is all these new babies we have. Amen. And I want to tell the truth. I don't think I really ever understood the Father's love for me until I had my first child. When Ashton was born, there amen in me. Did you hear that? When Ashton was born, she's about that age. I can still remember being down some town close to Corpus Christi. We were in revival. And I was looking at her before church or after church. I don't remember that part. She was lying there. And I got to thinking, I've been talking to her for 15 minutes. She never answered me. I told her I loved her. She never looked back and said, Dad, I love you. In fact, not only that, she rearranged our life. She changed our schedule. She woke us up in the middle of the night. She made messes, big messes. She cost us money. Every suit I had spit up on the shoulders. And you know what? She's able to give nothing to me, wasn't able to reciprocate, respond, and yet I would have given my life on the spot for her. And at that moment, I realized a little bit about the Father's love. We don't add much to the Father, do we? In fact, how many knows we make messes, big messes? How many knows many times we don't even respond to God like we ought to respond? And yet not only would He, but He gave His life for us. That's a Father's love. I said, that's a Father's love. Amen. I've heard people ask, why did God create man if He knew man would rebel? Why did He create man if He knew man would sin? Why did He create man if He knew the suffering and the pain and the betrayal and the hurt and the loss of a child and the loss of a spouse and the hunger and the thirst and the poverty and the disease? Why did He create man if He knew that was the plight of man? Why would He allow man, me or you, to be born when He knew we were going to rebel and sin and turn our backs to Him? Why would He do it? Because He had a Father's love. Let me ask you, you parents that had children, I want you to think, I know this is hypothetical, but I want you to think about it. Let's say you could know in advance you were going to have 6 children. When I do marriage counseling, I always tell them, we talk about children, I'll ask them, how many children do you think you want to have? And I said, before you answer that, be sure you pick an even number. Because after you've been married for a while, you'll always cut the number in half, and it's easier if the number's even. But let's say you knew you was going to have 6 children in advance. And somehow God would show you that one of those children was going to rebel, going to shame you as parents. God also showed you that one of those kids was going to suffer for a time with a disease or have an earache. Now, you might think about it, but I don't think there's a one of you that would say, well, since one of my children's going to rebel, one of my children's going to be sick, I just don't think I'll have any children. If you could know that in advance, the heart of a parent would say, we may be facing those things, but I want to have those children. Why? Because you, as a parent, love those kids even before they were born. Even before you knew their names. And God knew that we were going to rebel. He knew that someone was going to get an earache or suffer some awful disease. But He created us anyway because He looked ahead and He saw us. And He loved. You know why God allowed me to be born? Because He saw the me I would be. And He loved that me I would be. And think of what a parent has in mind. You have that child because you intend on showing your love to that. You have that child so that child can be a recipient of your love. A parent really doesn't have children to so they can love, though that's a great, wonderful byproduct. A parent has children so the parent can love the children. Isn't that right? And God allowed us to be created. Everyone in this building, there's no accidents in this building. Do you hear me? Regardless of what men is, see, God knew all that. He knew men would make wrong choices. He knew things would happen that weren't supposed to happen. But there are no accidents. Every person that's born, God knew way, way before the foundation of the world, He knew you were going to be born. And He allowed it because He loved you. And He wants to show you that love. He wants you to experience His love for you. Amen. You know, that show, that antique road show, you know how they determine how much something is worth? You know how they do it? You say they look up their books. Well, maybe. But you know how they really determine how much something is worth? They have only one question in their mind. How much is somebody willing to pay for this? That's what determines the price. How much is someone willing to pay for this? They'll ask them a question. You know, whatever it is, this painting, oh, that painting there, could I ask you how much you paid for it? Yes, at a pawn shop, I paid $25. See, immediately, that shows you what the pawn shop owner thought of the picture. He thought somebody would only pay $25 or less for it. And then the appraiser, he'll look at that and he said, well, here's what you got, and I'll tell you, at auctions, in other words, what people pay for it, I'm comfortable at auctions. This would go for $25,000. I mean, it's canvas. It's paint. Not intrinsic value. But it's going to go for... Why? Because the appraiser earnestly believes that somebody will pay $25,000. And its worth is established by how much somebody's going to pay for it. You know how your worth is established? It's how much somebody paid for your life. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Oh, you ought to be shouting. How much are you worth? God paid with the life of His Son. That's how much you're worth. I said, that's how much you're worth. Hallelujah. Oh, a Father's love. Oh, how He loves it. Amen. His motive was love. His means was love. The Father hath bestowed this love upon us. Why? That we should become the sons of God. In other words, how do we become sons of God? By His love being bestowed upon us. The love, we can't put it any other way. The love of the Father enables us to be His children. You can't make yourself a child of God. You can't just decide you'll be a child. It's His love that made, not just the choice. You got to get this. It's not just that He, in love, chooses to make a son. It's the fact His love will transform you and make you a child of God. If you've experienced His love, you know what I'm talking about. His love changed you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to know that He loves us. Think of a man and woman who go to an adoption agency. And the child is dirty, and the child has major problems, and the child has arrested development and is socially awkward. But that family loves that child in its need. Because of love, that's their motive. They take that child home, but it goes beyond just love as a motive, because as they begin to love that child day in, day out, week after week, month after month, their very love transforms that child. He's no longer socially awkward. He's no longer there. His manners have changed. His outlook has changed. His attitude. Why? The love of the parents has transformed that one into a child. And I'm telling you, if you'll experience the love of God, if you'll know the love, it'll change you. It'll transform your mind, your heart, everything about you. Can you say amen? I won't retell it, but a few weeks ago, I told the story about the pro fisherman who had got on drugs and lost everything and was a homeless person living in a park. And he went to a church to get some food. And when he walked in, hadn't had a bath in months, 3 months, I believe. But when he walked in that church, one of those Christians took him and gave him a big old hug. And he said, when that person hugged me, I understood the love of God. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And his life is rebuilt. Love transformed him. I'm telling you, the love of God will transform you. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. His love transforms. Hallelujah. Some have feared if we preach on the love of God and people begin to realize how much God loves them, that will cause people to abuse his love and feel like since God loves them, they can do anything they want to do. They can be anything they want to be, live any way they want to live. If they really understand how much God loves them, I think that's, use a little Greek word here, I think that's baloney. That's not a Greek word. I don't think it's true. I don't think if a person really realizes how much God loves them, they'll make them feel the liberty to live any way. I think if you really realize how God loves you so much, you'll be so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. Everything within you will want to please and serve him and love him back. Amen. Hallelujah. To realize he loves you makes you a son or daughter. I'm going to move forward in a moment. My young married class know how much I like this story. I remind them of it all the time. Have you ever heard about the tin cow wife? Have you ever heard about I love that story. I love that story. It's a culture where you still paid a dowry to get a wife, and you paid it in cows. That was their exchange there. And the going rate to pay for a wife was one, two, maybe if she's a really good cook, three cows. Well, there was a girl in that village. Actually, it was the next village. Cow down. When you saw her, she had no countenance. She walked around, stooped over. Nobody gave her the second look. Had no personality, no radiance, nothing. Nobody even thought of her. But one young man, he got to looking at her. And to make a long story short, he saw what she could be. And so he went to her dad and said, I'd like to marry your daughter. And the dad was just astounded. Nobody wanted to be with his daughter. But according to the bartering, the father said, well, how much are you willing to pay for her? And the young man said, 10 cows. And the father swallowed his gum and I mean, the going rate for a good wife is two or three. And you're going to pay 10 cows? They shook hands on it, established the deal. Guess what? The daughter heard, 10 cows. He paid 10 cows for you. Guess what? The village heard, he paid 10 cows. Did you know it wasn't long? That young lady, she walked out of her father's house with her head lifted up high, a countenance about her. And when people looked at her, they said, that's the most beautiful, beautiful young lady in our village. Who is it? Well, it's so-and-so. It can't be. Well, what made the difference in her? What changed her? Somebody paid 10 cows for her. She's not a two-cow wife. She's not a three-cow. She's a 10-cow wife. It transformed her. I'm not talking about conceit, but we ought to be able to walk out of here saying, he paid for us with the life of his son. That is transforming. He loved me enough to give his son. Isn't that transforming? Hallelujah. You know, I keep telling you, got to move forward, but I really don't. Amen. Let the roast burn. You got to hear this. If you stay out in that world long enough, all you'll hear is how bad you are, how messed up you are. Your friends will turn against you, quote unquote. people will turn against you. You'll be run down. And if it's not people, it'll be Satan. He'll be in your ear all the time, running you down, telling you you're worthless. Either that or he'll get you involved in lifestyles that there's only one result and consequence. You'll feel worthless. You'll feel abused and used. That's Satan's way. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll come to God and realize how much he loves you, you'll have a worth about you. You can hold your head up high. You can have a countenance about you because you're a child of the King. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And the thing that transforms us is the love of God. Aren't you grateful for his love? Amen. His love doesn't just leave us where it finds us. His love will change us. Last of all, his motive was love, and his means was love, but his very mission was love. Again, the verse, the text, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Notice that it's plural. I always warn folks, and I say this tongue in cheek, but I always warn folks when I'm going to get real deep. So I'm fixing to get real deep. Get your pen and pencil. His love has made me a son. His love has made you a son. Made us sons. Now, if you're a son, and I'm a son, what are you and I to each other? We're brothers. Some folks have never got that. If his love has made you a child and made you a child, we are brothers and sisters. You see, he's got a mission. His mission isn't just to love us, but his mission is to love us in such a way that we love one another like God loves us. In fact, you have not got the love of God until you feel and desire to love your brothers and sisters like God has loved you. That's his mission. Amen. By loving us, God desires that we love one another. Let me give you just a few scriptures here from the mouth of Christ. John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. How? How? How do we love one another? As Christ, or as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Amen. Amen. 1 John 4 and 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The mission of God in loving us, he made us children. Being children, we're brothers and sisters. And the mission of God is that we would love one another as God has loved us. John also said, if a man say, I love God, and he doesn't love his brother, he is a liar. Let's have him for revival. Hallelujah. Amen. If a man say, I love God, and he doesn't love his brother, he is a liar. Could I tell you, the mission of God is to so transform us by his love that we love one another. Now, I want to let you in on a secret. Amen. We're not all so lovable. And you know who we start with? We start with that fella in the mirror. How many got up this morning, looked in the mirror, and said, oh, I'm so lovable. We're not all so lovable. But I'm telling you, if you got the love of God in you, you'll be like him. You'll love the unlovable. I used to like it. We'd sing that old song, revival song. Give me that old time religion. It'll make you love one another. Oh, I like to see that in practice. Two people hadn't been getting along in the church or in their own family, have a move of the Holy Spirit. Love lifted me. Get to praying and weeping and realizing how much God loves him. And before it's all over with, they're falling on each other's necks and I love you. I love you. It wasn't that way on the way to church. Believe me. Amen. What was it? Amen. Transformed by the love of God. They love one another. Even God has called us to love one another. If you've been in church long, you've heard it. It's like the man, and I think about this because it happened with one of my grandkids one time. It's about like the man. He had his little daughter holding her like this, walking around with her. And she was just petting her dad and kissing him and saying, Daddy, I love you, I love you. And he said, oh, I love you too. And he walked by a mirror, and her little brother was over here somewhere, and he walked by a mirror, and he saw in the mirror that she was going, Daddy, I love you, and she's sticking her tongue out at her little brother. Daddy, I love you. And Dad took her arms and took her arms off of him and set her down. She said, "Dad, what are you doing that for?" He said, "It's real easy. You can't love your daddy and be sticking your tongue out at your little brother." It's quiet. Even the babies got quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves us that we would love one another. You say, "Well, I really struggle with what it means to love my brothers and sisters. I'm not struggle with it, but how do I really show my love?" Well, I know one thing. You may struggle with how do you love your brothers and sisters, but really, you know when you're not loving them. You may not know the ways to show your love, but you know the way you're not showing your love. Amen. We're fixing to move into communion, and may God really touch our hearts with this. You see, I know what it means not to love, to tear down, to cut down, to ridicule, to gossip about, amen, to say awful things. That's not loving our brother or sister. Amen, Sister Brock. That's not loving. Amen. Amen. To exclude them from our group, to avoid them, amen, to treat them rudely. That's not loving our brothers and sisters. To not give the benefit of the doubt, get their side of the story, that's not loving them. When they've made mistakes, to not to seek to restore and bring them back into the family in harmony, that's not loving them. To treat with contempt, like they're less than we are, and we're kind of a notch higher, and look down our noses at them, that's not loving them. Not to show compassion, that's not loving them. But I believe if we'll get a hold of the Father's love towards us, somehow the other, what flows from heaven, will begin to flow horizontally to our brothers and our sisters. Oh, I'm glad for this message of love. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said, I'm glad for this message in love. Makes you love everybody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Music, would you come? There were two artists. They're supposed to be famous. I didn't recognize the name. They were novelists. Lived together for 47 years. And the wife, she was gone when her husband developed pneumonia, died in the hospital. And when she was going through his things after he died, she came across his journal and some records, and found out that before she met him, that she had, and even during their marriage, 47 years of marriage, he had some real struggles, and he went to see a psychiatrist. And she read the psychiatrist's report, and the psychiatrist had written on there of this man that he is, and her quote was, "Love starved, loved starved." The wife that was still alive, it like to broke her heart, the things that she read, and to think that perhaps she made no effort to meet his needs and to love him in the way. But you know, I shared that whole story for the simple phrase, love starve. And I want you to know, even in the building this morning, hear me, this is the truth. There are some folks that are love starved. It's killing you. It's destroying you. And right at this point, don't think of people that might have hurt you and betrayed you or all that or withheld their love. Because I want you to look at that with hope and to know this. If you are love starved, you don't have to leave here feeling that way. Because behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. God loves you. Aren't you glad to know it? You say, "Pastors, we knew that before you started preaching." I know you did. But it's good to be reminded on this communion service that God loves us. I'll make some statements. I'm not saying these to reopen the message. I'm not saying this to make you feel uncomfortable. But I want you to think of these things during communion this morning. If you don't get a hold of awareness of God's love, listen to me, you will never defeat the temptation in your life. Think about that. Sometimes you say, "Well, I'm being tempted. I'll tighten down the screws. I'll be harder on myself." Well, discipline where discipline is needed is good. But I'm going to tell you, without the knowing and realizing the love of God, you'll never in the end defeat that temptation. It's love that'll defeat the temptation. Without an awareness of God's love, you will continue to flounder in trials and think of only how hard it is on you serving God and how difficult, and you won't make it. At some point, you'll give up in the middle of the trial unless you're aware of how much God loves you. Without an awareness of God's love, you'll lose your passion for Christ, maybe not today or tonight, but at some point, without recognizing the love of God, your desire for Christ, it'll leave. Without an awareness of God's love, you'll lose your joy. You'll forget what truly matters. But I'm telling you, if you'll just realize this morning what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be the children of God, you'll make it. I said, you'll make it. His love will constrain us. His love will keep us. I'm not opening a new sermon. I'm just going to give you one more scripture. The instruction of Jude. Facing the end time, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself. God is extending his love, but you can walk outside of the circle of his love, the place of his love. If you're not in that place, that you can be aware of his great love for you this morning, I want you to know you can know it before you leave here, and it'll transform your life. You'll be a child of God. Let's pray across the building. Servers, would you prepare to come? Father, I thank you for this good news, this gospel. Lord, I don't know all who's feeling unloved. I don't know who all is without where they can experience your love. But I pray you talk to them by your Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. May it occur to them with all its reality right now how much you love them, how much you care. Lord, it'll help them through the temptation. It'll bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It'll return their joy and their passion just to know how much you love us. Amen. Amen. Heads are bowed across this building. You're here this morning and you haven't had Christ in your life as a personal Savior. You're not living for Him. But you say, you know, as the message went out this morning of how much God loves me, I want to give my life to Him and let Him live within me. I want to serve Him. Is there anyone to just lift a hand and put it right back down and say, I'm struck this morning how much God loves me and I need that love. I want that love in my life, in my living. Anybody across the building? I want to surrender. God bless you, ma'am. Someone else, I want to just, He loves you. Amen. The Bible says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful, just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for this one that just lifted up their hand. He wants to make you His child. Anyone else like to lift up a hand and write back down and say, I need Christ in my life. I need Jesus in my life. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? Father, thank you for this one. And as we progress in the remainder of this service, Lord, I pray that you would just move into her heart and life. Let her feel your presence right there. Lord, let her hear your voice right now. You said, whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out. God, let this one feel the arms of your love, your acceptance, because of what you have done on the cross. Amen. If you're here, you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you may be a visitor, we want to invite you to partake of communion with us. Children that have talked with their parents and profess faith in Christ, you partake of communion. We just wait till everybody's been served and then we partake together. But as the elements are being served, Sister Becky is singing. Just thank God for His love. And you can be transformed even this morning, amen, by His love. Thank you.
grace I at last shall see.
Amen. We didn't orchestrate that song. Could you go ahead and put the words, just the chorus, back on? Could you stand? We normally pray over these elements, but before we partake of the cup, I just want us to sing this chorus together. Amen. Everyone, blend in your voice and grateful heart. How many knows the love of God is in this place? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus brought the love of God all the way from heaven, and it's amongst us this morning. Amen. Let's sing the chorus. Marvelous. Oh, one more time. Can we sing that? Hallelujah. And how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous,
how wonderful
is my song. How marvelous, he shed his blood for us. Could we partake of the cup together? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, before we partake of the bread, let's sing it again. Amen. Before we partake of his body that was broken. Amen. I'm sorry I got that out of order, but God knows what we're doing. We're celebrating his love. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it again. Amen. How, oh, marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous.
yes, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Hallelujah. Let's partake of the bread together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, your broken body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts and hands and celebrate his great love. Every child of God in the house, everyone that's been made a child of God by his love. Amen. He proved it. He showed it. He showed it. He proved it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We're going to sing that chorus once again. And if you're here and you need Christ, you feel the love of God drawing you, we use this step as an altar. And if you would come forward and kneel here and say, I need this love. I need this Savior. He'll meet you here and folks will pray with you. Amen. You need Christ. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. You need Christ. Would you come right now? I need Jesus. I need this love. I need this Savior. Would you come? Amen. Amen. Folks will be here to pray with you in the altar. I need Jesus. I need that great love. Hallelujah. Oh, that stands open. Let's sing it one more time. Church, rejoice. Hallelujah. And how marvelous, how wonderful. Oh, would you come? You need Jesus.
Oh, it's my Savior's love for me.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to close with that last point of the message. Our message, our mission is to love one another. Before you leave, would you shake hands? Tell your brothers and sisters that you love them. Would you do that? See you tonight in tonight's service. God bless all of you and our visitors today. Amen.